This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Let me tell you about a place somewhere up in New York way, where the people are so gay, twisting the night away.
Oh yeah, the preacher's son, Sam Cooke. He had a voice like a nightingale. Beautiful voice. Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I have a voice like a nightingale when I'm sleeping. To myself. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, another great voice, we thank you for joining us. It is Friday, October the 7th already. Wow, moving along in the month. Got a very busy show today. In a few minutes, Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute is going to be with us. And we're going to talk about his study at Cato of states with and without state income taxes. And why the states without tend to run things better, believe it or not. So we'll talk with him about that in just a few minutes. And are the walls finally closing in on Hunter Biden? There are rumblings that an indictment could be imminent, but do you trust his father's Justice Department to really do anything? Huh? We're going to take a look. And while North Korea launches missiles over Japan, Vladimir Putin's so-called loyal colleagues are circling the wagons around him with their guns pointed inward. We are going to take a look at that as well. And a very good, interesting top 10. The top 10 greatest comedy actors. Let's see if Ed knows who's number one. Greatest comedy actors. By the way, don't forget Senior Voice America. They precede our program. They're on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Great show, Tim Bryce and Company, here on the Tantalk Radio Network. So, latest job growth numbers have, like they say, hot off the wire. U.S. job growth slowed for a second consecutive month. So, September's job numbers, they are 263,000 positions that were added, but they claim hiring remained solid despite the what they call headwinds from higher interest rates. Of course, the Fed has been raising interest rates. It's been stalling the stock market. And when you slow down spending, it also slows down hiring, okay? Everything is connected that way. Do you realize how many artificial barriers we have to a free market in this country? When I say artificial, I mean man-induced barriers. Certainly the Federal Reserve is one, because if we truly wanted to trust people with their money and what they wanted to do with it, would we impose arbitrary interest rates on borrowing it? No, we would not. What we would do is we would allow institutions like banks to loan money to people at the rate they would like to loan them to people. They know better their customers. They know better, and they're out to make a profit. So they're certainly going to plan to do, with competition, they're going to plan to get as much money out of a customer as they can for the money that they loan them. But with other people and other banks and other institutions doing the same thing, that's what keeps the rates down. But you see, we got to have the fingers on the scale, and then the Federal Reserve. And why in Lord's name we've got a Federal Reserve printing money that we have no backing for, and then we wonder why things are so crazy in this world, right? Anyway, employers added about 263,000 jobs last month. That tops the 250,000 job forecast by certain economists, but not by others. The unemployment rate dropped to 3.5%. That's a goodly number overall. It means that we got a lot of people that are working. But you got to remember that there are a lot of people that we don't even count anymore. The only way we can figure the 3.5% are the people that are filing for unemployment. So think about all the people that don't work and don't get unemployment. How many, what percentage of that is that? Think of all the seniors. They don't get unemployment, right? And they're not working, generally. So we got a large percentage of people in this country that just don't work and are not earning a living. So anyway, we expect that the Fed is planning on raising rates again. What will that do? That will slow the stock market. It will hurt everybody's 401ks, especially those that live on a fixed income and have money in a 401k or in a mutual fund or whatever it is. So it's a scary scenario right now, but we'll see what happens. Meantime, Joe Biden, in his continuing attempt to get as many votes out of people as he possibly can. What's he doing? First, he's sucking the oil reserves dry to try and lower the price of gasoline at the pumps so that when you go to the polls next month, you're going to vote Democratic as much as possible. Now, he's going to pardon all prior federal offenses of simple marijuana possession. And, of course, it's a big step towards decriminalizing the drug. Now, people that smoke marijuana, I don't think should be in prison, and there aren't any that just smoke it that are technically in prison. It's the people that sell it, and those are the ones that typically go to prison. And the question is, well, whether or not the whole damn thing should be allowed to be legal. As a libertarian, I tend to think that if people want to smoke marijuana, they should be allowed to do so. Just like if you're allowed to, if you want to have a beer or a vodka, you should be allowed to do that. Or have a regular cigarette, you should be allowed to do that. It's very hard to make an argument that you shouldn't smoke marijuana, but you could smoke cigarettes. There's just no argument you can make that's rational. Both of them are doing things that are harmful to you. Everybody knows it. But anyway, so here's Biden. He's going to completely pardon all prior federal offenses of simple marijuana possession. Of course, it's done just prior to the election. Of course, does he really care about these people? No. He cares about the votes. Now, the move applies to those convicted of simple possession of marijuana, including those in D.C. The White House noted that people of color and white people use marijuana at similar rates, but that Black and brown people have been arrested, prosecuted, and convicted at disproportionate rates. I don't know that that's true. They're usually in the service of another crime when they go to jail for doing something. It's not the marijuana possession, I don't think. But
kind of reminds you of the guy from New York that came to Florida and paid for all the people that owed fines to Florida, whatever, and couldn't vote. I can't remember his name. He ran for president.
I think you're right. There was somebody.
Unsuccessfully.
Yeah, it was.
What was his name? It's like $100 million it cost him. He ran for president.
It was a shameless way to get votes.
A New York.
Yeah, he had a lot of money. He was trying to get all the votes of people. He was buying their vote, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember the name either. But I don't even know I'd know it if you told it to me.
Thanks. Michael Bloomberg.
Oh, did Bloomberg do that?
Yes. Came down and remember he spent like $100 million? He spent like $100 million buying up all the...
Yeah, now I do kind of remember that. Well, it didn't work too well.
Pay for your fine. Yeah.
You know who
tore... Money well spent.
Do you remember who really tore him apart in the primary debates? Do you remember who tore him apart? Pocahontas.
Oh, good God.
Do you remember how she tore into him? Remember, she was running.
Yeah,
she tore into him right off the bat.
Yeah.
And I don't think he ever recovered from it. Mm. Not that he was going to win the primary anyway.
Kind of like Marco Rubio when he kept repeating himself. Remember the presidential election, that one debate where he kept saying the same line over and over again?
Yeah, kind of.
And Governor Christie came out and said, there he goes again.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, we got other things to talk about,
yeah.
Do we not? I can't wait to talk with Chris Edwards, who is back from the Cato Institute. Do states need income taxes?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on a Friday with you, and thank you so very much for being with us. Delighted to have back Chris Edwards from the Cato Institute, where he is an expert on tax issues. He's also the editor of downsizinggovernment.org, and he has come out with a piece on whether or not states need income taxes. I think this is absolutely so interesting and important as well. Nine states do not have an income tax in this country, and Chris decided to take a look. Chris, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
Absolutely. Now, we've got here in Florida no income tax, and of course we have a very vibrant tourist industry. And we also have, with strawberries and grapefruit and the like, we've got a decent farming industry as well. So I can understand, you know, how Florida might be able to get away with it. But we've got eight other states that are also apparently doing pretty well without an income tax. So could you talk a little bit about those states and what is going on? Why is it that they are doing well enough that they don't have to impose an income tax?
Yeah, I think this is a fascinating issue. So there's nine states that don't have a personal income tax: Alaska, Wyoming, Florida, Tennessee, South Dakota, New Hampshire, Texas, Nevada, and Washington State. So that's nine, but I would take two of those out, Alaska and Wyoming, because they're sort of a special case. They get a lot of the revenue from energy, the energy industry, coal and oil and natural gas. So let's put those aside. So I would say that there's seven states in all different parts of the country, different sort of economic structures that all get by without a personal income tax, which, you know, grabs a lot of money from people's pockets, is anti-freedom and anti-growth. States should try to get rid of their personal income taxes if they can, and these seven states have shown it's possible. And, you know, the states are as diverse as Florida, you know, to Washington State, Nevada, New Hampshire. They're in all parts of the country. And, you know, people might say, well, maybe in these states that don't have personal income taxes, they have higher sales and property taxes to make up for it. And that is partly right. But actually, they do keep the overall size of the tax burden lower. So in these seven states, the overall tax burden is 8.1% of income. In the other 40 states, the burden is higher at 9.6%. And then there's some states like New York I focus on, just completely off the map at 14% of income and taxes. So So to summarize, then, states can get rid of their personal income taxes. You can run a government, provide all the basic services citizens need, and these seven states show that it can be done, and you can have efficient and lean and well-run government.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, two of the states that have the highest taxes, income tax-wise, I believe, New York and California, also have the biggest debt problems, do they not?
Oh, yeah, no, that's absolutely right. There's, higher taxes do not lead to lower debt. Higher taxes lead to more spending.
And, exactly.
You know, New York is the clearest example of this. I've compared in detail in the past New York and Florida, and it's pretty astounding. New York government, if you look at spending or taxation, is almost twice as big as Florida government, which is interesting because both states have about the same population, about 20 million people. But, you know, you look at all the governments in New York, the state government, then all the local governments, if you count the number of government workers, employees, you know, everything from fire and police to school employees to welfare employees, there's 34% more government bureaucrats in New York State than in Florida. Well, why is that? New York doesn't have better services than Florida. In fact, Florida's got better schools, for example, than New York. So New Yorkers are paying this enormous additional burden in taxation, almost twice as high as Florida's tax burden, but they're getting worse services. It's just, I just find, you know, it astounding that these differences in the states in terms of
absolutely.
Basic efficiency.
Yeah, another state I should have thrown in there was Illinois. Illinois's also got a huge debt. They've got income taxes all over the place. You know what's interesting, Chris? It seems almost always the case, and Reagan made a big point of it, that the lower the taxes, the more the revenue that actually comes into the government one way or the other. And people have not figured that out, that if you lower taxes generally, that means people go out and spend more because they've got more money in their pocket. And when they go out and spend more, then they're spending more on sales taxes and all of the other things that eventually makes its way into the government to produce the services.
That's absolutely right. I've looked in detail. The IRS produces this very interesting data, as you may know, that shows the year-by-year movements of all Americans from one state, moving from one state to another. And it's got it, you know, stratified by income level and age group and the like. So the biggest flow, interstate flow in America is from New York to Florida. And I've looked at the most recent data shows that of the 25 lowest tax states, 20 of those states have substantial net inflows of people. So it's not just warm states like Florida, but colder states that have low taxes like South Dakota and New Hampshire have large inflows of people. I think they're going for the lower taxes. And as you pointed out, when, you know, a lot of these, the high tax states like New York, they scare away the highest earning individuals. So, but, you know, often these are entrepreneurs,
exactly,
and investors and the like. So when they leave New York loses not just their income, they lose their entrepreneurship, they lose their philanthropy, they lose, you know, their investment in startup businesses. So I think these high tax states, they're really shooting themselves in the foot. They lose a lot when they're losing their most productive citizens.
Yeah, absolutely. And you would think that these people that run these states, they're not dumb. They know that. I mean, the Keynesian economic theory just doesn't seem to work. The more that you allow...
Yeah, I know it's a mystery. I don't understand why New Yorkers don't wake up, actually, and see what their politicians are doing to them. I think that the problem is, you know, New York there's a bubble in a lot of the people who run the state live in, you know, Manhattan or Albany, and they're bubbles. And, the rest of the state is depopulating. I drive through New York State frequently, and it's really sad what you see. You know, cities like Syracuse and Binghamton and Buffalo, they're draining of the people.
Yeah,
people
absolutely.
Are moving out. And, you know, the people in the Capitol don't seem to care, don't do anything about it.
Yeah, it's like they freeze in place. We're talking with Chris Edwards. He is an expert on tax issues at the Great Cato Institute. He's also the editor of DownsizingGovernment.org. And I want to put in a plug. You've got, Cato's got the fiscal policy report card on governors. I believe is it coming out next week, Chris?
Yeah, that's right. It's coming out next Wednesday. Every 2 years since the early 90s, actually, we look at the 50 governors and we score them on their taxing and spending records, and we provide sort of school grades to them. A for the best governors who have restrained government, and then F for the governors who have just, you know, pushed up taxes and spending at ridiculous rates. So that report comes out next Wednesday. We grade all the governors.
Oh, I can't wait. I want to see where my buddy Ron DeSantis ends up. Getting back to the tax issue, New Hampshire, a little bright spot up in the Northeast all by itself. It's always been somewhat libertarian, has it not? I mean, they tend to, I don't know what it is. I mean, they're surrounded by, I would say, more liberal states. And for a while, I was worried about New Hampshire, but it seems like it's getting back into its libertarian mode.
No, that's right. New Hampshire continues to be a consistently small government state. No personal income tax. They do have business income taxes, but their overall burden of taxes is one of the lowest in the country. The overall spending is one of the lowest in the country. And they get consistent net inflows of residents, a lot of them from nearby higher tax Massachusetts. I mean, one of the secrets of New Hampshire is that they have a very decentralized government structure. So most of the government is close to the people at the local level, which is, you know, most states like in New York, for example, the government is very centralized in the capital and further away from the people. So I think that the, you know, New Hampshire secret, no income tax, and also government is closer to the people.
Yeah, it's just amazing, though, that it's like that little bright spot. I mean, you got Massachusetts and Vermont. You got so many liberal enclaves around them, and how they've managed to stay out of that mix is more power to them. So overall, you are finding that those states, and they're all over the place, as you said. I mean, we're from Alaska all the way east to New Hampshire, south to Florida, west to Wyoming. I mean, it's not anything geographical. And yet they find ways to make their government work. I would also submit that these same states, these nine states, probably have fewer, you know, I don't know how you put this, fewer per capita government bureaucrats running around in the state. I've always thought that the fewer the people in government, the more efficient it really becomes.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, I mentioned that difference between, you know, New York State has 34% more bureaucrats than Florida.
Right.
And, you know, if your listeners want to look at that data, that's just from the Bureau of Census. That is a general pattern. Interestingly, I mentioned there's nine states without income taxes. Two of them have relied on a lot of, they got rich in the past from energy revenues, Alaska and Wyoming.
Right.
Interestingly, if you look at those states, they actually have pretty big government. They got a lot of bureaucrats. And I've talking to people who are in those states, you know, they tell me basically the government's got bloated because they've had these big inflows of energy revenues over the years, and that's declining now. Those states really have to start chopping their government and getting them down to size. But that's different than the other states like New Hampshire that don't have any kind of built-in advantage like that in an energy industry. They've, in New Hampshire and other states like that in Florida, have done well because they have low taxes and lean government and provide efficient services to the residents.
Okay, Chris, I want to step back now from that, and I want to look at the big picture and how people in the United States might or might not respond to how badly things have been going economically, looking at what they can obviously see is a more government administration and all of the things that they are trying to do and the curtailing of the free economic entrepreneurship of this country. Do you think that come November, in 4 weeks, do you think that people are finally going to get wise to the fact that big government is not working? Do you think that we're going to have a tsunami of, I wouldn't say libertarianism, maybe more of a conservative bent when it comes to allowing, do you think people are finally waking up to the fact that socialism is a it's a deterioration of our country?
Maybe. There's no doubt that the Biden administration is the most left-wing on economic policy in decades and decades. Certainly, I think since Lyndon Johnson in the 1960s, and there's clearly a reaction to that. And we see the problems that's caused: stagnant economy, high inflation. What I would say is, and I don't think the federal Republican leaders in Congress have done a very good job in countering it with a consistent small government message at all. I think they need new leadership in Congress. The bright spot, I think, is that, looking at all these states and scoring the governors in our upcoming Cato fiscal report on the governors, the Republicans have a very deep bench of pro-market, small government, tax-cutting governors. Just in the last 2 years, 20 states have cut their income tax rates. It's been really, the governors like Doug Ducey of Arizona have been sort of free market, basically across the board, deregulating as well as cutting taxes. Governors of Iowa, Florida, Brad Little in Idaho, other governors, Brian Kemp of Georgia, they've been pretty consistently pro-market. And I think so that's the future of the Republican Party, hopefully, is the, it was a free market, small government revival of the Ronald Reagan approach to government.
Yeah, and we're hoping that the pendulum does start swinging back towards freedom here in this country. And it's always a pleasure, Chris, to talk with you. We do indeed look forward to the report coming out on the governors next week from the Cato Institute. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Of course. All right, Chris Edwards, we're going to take our break. When we come back, are the walls finally closing in on Hunter Biden? Rumblings that an indictment might be imminent.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Steve Vaccaro, psychologist and host of the Chapters Wrap Live. Each live show will bring on top-notch guests from the nonprofit world. We are the advocacy show that provides a platform for other advocates. So please tune in on your drive home from work to share your voice. The Chapters Wrap, where unity and diversity meet one chapter at a time.
Listen to Kicking Unhealthy Relationships to the Curb at 5, Voices for Change at 6, Reach Out with Ray and Steve at 7, and the Chapters Wrap at 8, Wednesdays, here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Dancing, dancing, dancing.
She's a dancing machine.
A band. Move it, baby. Automatic, systematic. Full of color, self-contained.
Hey, we're back on a Friday. It's a beautiful day here. We've had some great weather here in Tampa Bay, I must say. You wouldn't know that. What was it, a week ago, Ed? 9 days ago, we were worried about getting wiped off the map, you might say, with Hurricane Ian.
I honestly think that was the longest 4 days or 3 days in a long time that I've experienced. Remember I said it was waiting on a hurricane and it was like being stalked by a turtle.
Yes.
But
that's a good analogy.
It just took so much because we didn't know. And like I said, I went around the coast here in downtown Clearwater and areas and took photos thinking it would be a long time.
Last time we would ever see it look
well,
like
for
this.
A long time. Yeah. I mean, and look what happened in
Very
Fort Myers.
Scary.
Can you imagine?
It's horrible what happened there. And we're at something like 70 people or so dead now Florida?
No, it's 100 now.
It's 100
yeah,
here
it,
in Florida.
It hit 100.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, and they're still
horrible.
Looking. They're still looking.
It's so
still
sad.
Still people missing.
It is so sad.
A lot of people hunkered down, thought that, hey, I've been through this before, and the surge was just incredible.
I have never heard a person say, I'm glad I stayed, instead of, I'm glad I left. Every time someone stays and survives it, when they get hit by a hurricane, mm-hmm. they almost inevitably say, it was the worst thing I've done is to stay. I should have stayed.
There's two types. I mean, you get the power outage, and then you're in the dark for how long? And then the next step is you have a lot of damage. And then the next, the worst one is, of course, is the storm surge, where it just wipes everything out. I mean, everything goes. You got to start over. Unless you're a concrete building, then everything goes.
It's horrible.
And you got nothing left. There's people standing there with nothing left.
And as we know, more people die after the hurricane than during it.
Yeah. And a lot of people that were on boats and stuff that were tossed around are still missing, and they could be still in those boats.
Very sad. Now, federal investigators are weighing whether to charge Hunter Biden with various tax and foreign lobbying violations and more, with a former official saying that an outcome in the case could be imminent. Now, here's the deal. We need a special prosecutor, an independent prosecutor, because no matter what they do, and it's being run in the grand juries in Delaware, no matter what they do, you know that Merrick Garland and company under Joe Biden in the Justice Department, the Attorney General, they're going to figure out a way to plea bargain him so that once he's got that wall of plea bargaining and he pays a fine, doesn't serve any time, then no matter what Republicans try to do to come after him for some of these other things, they're going to say, well, we've already done it, case dismissed. You need an independent prosecutor to honestly look at it, because then people will have confidence in the outcome. You're not going to have confidence in the outcome when you got Merrick Garland and his father running things in the Justice Department that is doing the investigation.
I mean, we all know the guy's dirty. But the real question everybody wanted to know is, how much did Daddy know?
Exactly.
And that's the whole thing.
They're going to stifle that. Everybody knows that Daddy knew.
They didn't have any problem going after the Trump kids. None whatsoever.
Everybody knows that Daddy knew. Everybody knows that Daddy is taking money. Everybody knows that Hunter Biden is filtering money to his father and to Joe Biden's brother. They're all involved in it. Everybody knows it's a wink and a nod. We all know it. It's been 4 years since they started investigating. 4 years since that Hunter Biden laptop popped up. Are you kidding me? Do you think if there was any real justice? When you've got your father's Justice Department overseeing things, what do you expect?
Where is the laptop anyway?
I've got it at home.
Oh.
Yeah, I put it under the bed.
Hell, let's open the damn thing up.
I don't want to. I've always felt bad about that. No, doesn't the FBI still have it?
I think the FBI has it. There's a clone of it. I believe that the guy that first fixed it.
Probably has a copy.
Probably cloned it.
Yeah.
When he saw.
And there's this other guy, and you brought him up the other day, I think, Bob Alinsky.
Mm.
I mean, the guy is being stifled. The guy was working directly with Hunter Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've seen him on Fox News, but the FBI won't bring him in. What's going on? The guy is the most direct conduit to what is going on, other than Hunter Biden, and they won't bring him in.
Here's the FBI. We don't have any questions for you. By the way, you know anything about Trump?
I know, exactly. They're still bringing up Trump. They want to connect Trump somehow to this whole thing. Do you remember, speaking of that? So Trump, in a phone call to Zelensky, the president of the Ukraine, says, look, I think there's some hanky-panky going on here. Could you possibly take a look at what was going on with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden? And they impeach him.
They impeach him. They said that they
in the meantime
held for
wanting to find the truth. In the meantime, look what they're doing here. Don't you think?
Well, you got to remember they tied that in with funds or whatever for weapons or something like that. Before the war started, that they said that Trump
said,
had held that.
They said he would hold out. Yeah. He never said
but
he
Trump,
would hold out.
Well, Trump said that we wanted to find out, make sure it was going where it was supposed to be going.
Right.
Getting in the hands of the right people.
Meantime, do you remember that they had Joe Biden on tape, on videotape, saying that he threatened Ukraine with the loss of billions of dollars unless they fired the prosecutor in the Burisma energy case. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He was proud of it. He said it on tape.
Mm-hmm.
His son was involved with Burisma. I can't believe that.
It's amazing how much money is given out and never followed up on.
Right.
You know, and it happens in our own backyard. You know, four years ago, with Trump in Puerto Rico, when they went through Hurricane Maria, I think it was, and he was down there, of course, they made light of him throwing a roll of a paper towel.
They're still bringing that up.
Yeah.
They're bringing that up again.
But I tell you, I've been watching the chat rooms, and they're finding out slowly but surely that Trump did something, and once again, the government in Puerto Rico is corrupt, and they put it all in their black market.
Listen,
Biden was just down there. He was just there.
Right.
And the same thing is happening there. Nobody happened to mention that he went from Puerto Rico, and I have photos, and somebody sent me photos that Air Force One was at the airport in St. Croix for 2 days until he came to Florida. Nobody knew about that. Nobody, if you look it up, there is Air Force One.
Well, St. Croix is in
the Virgin Islands. It's still U.S. territory.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what's the point?
He spent 2 days there. Nobody knows about it.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But there's widespread corruption in those governments down there.
I got you. Yeah. No question
about
it.
It's still a U.S. territory.
Can you imagine how much money that we sent to Puerto Rico after the hurricane? How much of that really got to the people?
That money was for infrastructure. They were supposed to bury those lines and get it over with, the electric lines.
Speaking about corruption, Republicans plan to launch immediate oversight of the IRS if they win control of the House next month. Three Republicans vying to lead the committee, which has jurisdiction over tax, said they want to shine a light on the IRS. Remember that we have Democrats have hired 87,000 new IRS agents. What in the hell are they going to do, right? Supposedly, they're supposed to seek out corruption. They're going to go after the little guy. 87,000 IRS agents aren't going to sit around looking for multi-billionaires. They don't need 87,000 IRS agents for a handful of billionaires. So they're going to be going all the way down to many people with a lot lower incomes and trying to find out what they are doing wrong. So Republicans basically, I think, are going to try, if they can, to get rid of the 87,000 IRS agents because they don't need them. But we'll see where that goes. Once you hire bureaucrats like that, it's very hard to fire them. But 87,000, it is ridiculous. It's just crazy. It says here, the current top Republican on the House Budget Committee, the American people are demanding oversight of this administration. Over the years, they've seen an IRS that has targeted conservatives. They've seen an IRS that has allowed taxpayer information to be leaked for political gain. And we remember, what was the name of that woman that was under Obama? They finally fired her. She went after certain conservative organizations trying to take away their exemption status. I can't remember her name now, but Lois Lerner or somebody like that. And I mean, the whole idea of, you know, turning the IRS into a weapon for political purposes is just absolutely horrible. Anyway, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to talk a little baseball. Playoffs are starting today for our beloved Tampa Bay Rays. And the top 10 greatest comedy actors.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you
a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back again on a beautiful day in Tampa Bay on a Friday. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network. We always appreciate you taking a moment to listen to us, but we know you're busy, and thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are on tape. So you miss a show? Go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the very top, and it will open up all of our shows. Ed puts all of them on there. He puts in who our guest is, and he puts in our top 10, bless him. And you'll see the most recent show at the very top, OurFreedomWorks.com. So, Meanwhile, with all the trouble going on here in the United States, North Korea is launching missiles over Japan. And talk about somebody that's going, hey, look at me over here. You know, that little dictator over there. You know, here was the thing about Trump. Trump soothed that guy's ego, did he not?
Yeah.
Trump went over there and made him feel good, and no missile launching over Japan when Trump was around, because he soothed his ego. Same thing with Vladimir Putin. Did you notice? No invasion of Ukraine when Trump was around. Correct.
We're saying you know how to stop North Korea from shooting missiles over Japan is, you know that airplane that says Trump on the side of it?
Yes.
You park that right at the Tokyo airport right there.
Oh, that's a good idea. That'll stop him right there. In the meantime, what's going on with Vlad Putin, our buddy Vlad? Vlad the Impaler Putin in Russia. A member of his inner circle has voiced disagreement directly to the Russian president in recent weeks over his handling of the war in the Ukraine. Now, there's a Washington Post story on all of this. It says here, the criticism marks the clearest indication yet of turmoil within Russia's leadership over the stewardship of the Ukraine war, a war that has gone disastrously bad for Moscow. Who would have thought?
I was just saying, has anybody been able to get into mainstream Russian and talk to people, their thoughts on the war? You know, just people around?
Don't you realize that even if you were able to get in there with your little tape,
you wouldn't
recorder,
get out with it?
No, the people would still be worried.
Yeah,
that you were probably an informer. I mean, everybody is paranoid about somebody informing on them over there, I'm afraid. That's the sad thing about socialism and communism. It ends up resulting in your fear of what people will do to you for being honest and forthright and saying what you feel.
Or telling you what you can and cannot say.
Exactly.
Kind of like YouTube.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Kind of like Facebook.
Yeah, and it was like Twitter. It still is until our buddy gets...
You can't get on any one of those and say, in your opinion, that the election was stolen.
So
you will get bounced.
So I'm wondering if Vladimir Putin should start watching and making sure his orange juice hasn't been spiked. You know, they like to poison people that they disagree with.
Yeah.
And Vladimir Putin has been the chief architect of a lot of that. So he's probably worried about that these days. Okay. We got to, before we do our top 10, we got to talk some sports. And Ed, today or tonight, I don't know which, is the beginning of the playoffs.
Yep.
Baseball regular season is finally over with. and our beloved Tampa Bay Rays are playing, is it the Cleveland Guardians?
I can't remember what their new team is.
God forbid we call them the Indians.
Rolls out. You know, if I lived in Cleveland, I'd still call them the Indians. I don't care.
I'm sure they do. I'll bet there'll be a lot of people in Cleveland, because it'll be in Cleveland, mm-hmm. that'll be wearing their Indians shirts and making sure that everybody sees it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got, what is it, the best of three. And you were correct in telling me that all three of those games would be played in Cleveland. We don't get a chance to play one of them in Tampa.
No, that's the downside of being the last wild card team, the one that they added. You know, for the playoffs. They added a team to the playoffs. So
is Tampa Bay got the worst? Is it the lowest of the seeds?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They finished up with a 6-game losing streak.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just kind of, and you could see the players were getting disgusted.
So they're playing Cleveland.
Yes.
Do you know what the other teams are that are playing today? Can you remember by any chance? I think all the wild card games. I know they include Seattle is playing Toronto.
Yes, that's
one. And there are two other games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they'd be in the National League.
Yeah.
And there
are two games in the National and two games in the American League.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So, do you know if, God willing, Tampa wins its series, do they play one of the other wild card teams, or do they end up, would they end up playing Houston or something?
One will go to Houston, one will go to New York.
The Yankees in Houston, okay. Yeah.
But right. I wouldn't worry about that.
We're not worried about it?
The Rays will go to Cleveland.
Yeah. Don't tell me you don't believe that they can't win.
By some hook or crook, the Rays could possibly win one of those three, but they will get their free T-shirt that says, thanks for coming to Cleveland playoffs, 2022, and then come home.
Ed, how can you be that way?
I have more positive. Zero confidence in the Tampa Bay Rays.
Why?
Zero.
Tell me why you have no confidence.
Because of
you don't have confidence in their manager? Going on.
Yes, exactly.
He's not doing the right thing.
Exactly.
He's not playing the
players that are producing. He's playing the players that are making the most money.
Got it.
And they're not producing.
He's playing favorites.
Well, he's playing, and maybe it's not coming from him. It could be coming from Stu, up in the top dog.
All right. Now our manager is Kevin Cash.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it could be coming
now,
from Stu
Sternberg.
Now,
who in particular should he not be playing?
Well, G-Man Choi is like 1-for-44. I mean, Lola can hit a. Get better average than that, for crying out loud.
Lola can go 2-for-44.
At least.
Lola's our station manager, and she hates baseball.
I mean, you're playing guys that every time the lineup comes up, I'm like, why? Why? And the announcers are even saying it. Since the All-Star break, he's hitting .087. That's what he's hitting since in the second half of the season.
I can hit better than that.
He was on fire for the first part of the year.
Yeah, something's wrong.
Almost 300. Now he's down to like 220 or 210 or something like that. When you hit 0.087, that's not good.
No, okay. Now, also, we've got to talk about, I'm sorry, Tom Brady and his wife. I'm worried.
I don't think that's going to be a factor. I really don't. I don't.
I'm worried about his mental condition, Tom Brady's, because his wife is apparently going ahead with a divorce.
Yeah. Well, listen, if anybody can block that out, Tom Brady can.
How do you know?
Because
he could be tearing him apart.
That's the way that man's wired. You don't think
we don't know that.
20-year career, he hasn't had any.
He might completely become unglued. I tend to think you're right. I think he's a machine. I think he could compartmentalize. He probably has been.
I think when he steps out on the field, he's business. People are wired that way.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Are we taking sides, and do we prefer one over the other, or do we not know enough about it?
I don't think it's any of our business, to tell you the truth.
That's true.
We should not even take sides. When I got a divorce, I didn't ask him his opinion of my divorce. Why should he ask me of mine?
He might have given you some good advice, for God's sake.
You could have paid for it.
Okay. All right, Ed, get over to the drums. We have a very interesting top 10. These are the top 10 greatest comedy actors, okay? Now, notice I didn't say movie or TV, because it could be both, okay?
And
but
said,
they tend to be in front of a camera.
And you said dead or alive, too.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah.
Well, because television lives on. Film lives on forever.
You know, the golden age of comedy and the whole bit. All right. Anyway, it comes from tasteofcinema.com, all right? And I want to see if you know who will be number one. So you got to listen, Ed. Don't just play the drums and not listen.
You got
number 10. Harold Lloyd.
Don't know him.
I didn't either, but he's got... He was a silent film actor who...
Oh.
Listen to this. Listen to this. Did you know he blew... an explosion on set one time blew off his thumb and his index finger, and he turned out to be one of the greatest stuntmen comedians of all time. He climbed a building in a movie called Safety Last, and he was dangling from a clock that was hanging out there over the building. It was really something to watch.
Mm.
All right. Number 9. Now, this one I know you know. Madeline Kahn.
Madeline Kahn.
You remember her?
Yeah. I didn't get her, though.
Well, she was...
She had an annoying voice.
She was in two movies that was pretty she was pretty funny in. One was Blazing Saddles, and the other one was Young Frankenstein.
Mm.
Both of them Mel Brooks. She's associated with Mel Brooks. Unfortunately, she passed away from cancer, if you remember. Number 8. Now, I wouldn't have thought of this guy as a comedian, but he really was in many movies. Cary Grant.
Hmm.
Cary Grant was truly a funny man. I mean, he could be a straight leading man. He could be a funny comedian type as well. Number 7. Now, you've heard of Buster Keaton, have you not?
Yes.
Okay. He and Harold Lloyd were in the same era, and Buster Keaton was also a fantastic stuntman, and he made his own movies. One of them, The General, is considered by many to be one of the top 10 greatest movies ever made, and it was a comedy. Number 6, Peter Sellers.
Mm.
Remember him?
Pink Panther.
Yeah, all those Pink Panther movies.
Yeah.
He also made a great movie called Being There. He was kind of, he could disappear into his character.
Mm.
Okay, number 5, Lucille Ball.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to say Lucy, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Of course, possibly the greatest comedy of all time on TV. I Love Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number 4. John Cleese. Do you know who he is?
No.
Monty Python.
Okay.
Monty Python movies. Mm-hmm. The Flying Circus, which was on PBS TV. Fawlty Towers. He made movies like Monty Python and the Holy Grail. The Life of Brian. The Meaning of Life. Okay. Yes, you're right. Got to move along. Number 3. Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The guy was funny, stand-up comedian.
Pretty much funny in everything he did.
He was funny in everything he did. He had some great movies. Mrs. Doubtfire. Mm. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Okay, number 2. The Marx Brothers.
Okay.
The group. Now, you've seen their old movies, or a few, have you not?
Yeah.
Yeah. All 4, they really were brothers. Day at the Races, Animal Crackers, Duck Soup, Night at the Opera. Mm. All right. Who do you think is number 1?
It's somebody
out there.
It's
an old-timer.
Yeah. So much Charlie Chaplin.
Yes!
I figured that.
Charlie Chaplin, you nailed
it. Robert Downey Jr. did a great movie. If you've never seen it, watch it.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Excellent movie.
I got to see it. I never did. All right, thank you for
listening. Before we get out of here, the radio industry lost a very big voice, Bernard McGuirk.
Oh, yes.
Of New York, former IMUS show producer, lost his battle of cancer yesterday.
Yeah,
64
God bless
years
him.
Old.
I loved
Bernie McGuirk.
Bernie McGuirk.
Yeah.
He would appear on Fox as well. Radio and TV will miss him. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Monday. Remember, freedom works.
Young man, there's no need to feel down. I said, young man, pick yourself up.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR.